Okay, we're going to look at a couple of psalms before 363 comes back, and we're going to look at Psalm 18, and I want to ask you if you were writing an ad as King David, that you're trying to get an ad in the newspaper out, what would you be saying in Psalm 18 and Psalm 19? Think of it at that point of view. If you were opening up a newspaper, and here's King David's ad that he bought, and definitely chapter Psalm 19, as you'll see on the big screens in a minute, is going to be a full-page ad in full color. But what is he really advertising when he speaks about God? Somebody sent me these, and I know you've heard them before or seen them yourself on the internet or whatever, but I thought in light of David, you know, how he's writing so poetically, and he's writing so musically. For instance, in your Bibles, most of your Bibles should have a connotation above Psalm 18. It tells you what motivated him to write this psalm. It's to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. So that gives you the background. So if he were to say, you know, I'd like to tell everybody in town what God did, these would be the words if he is placing an ad. He writes to the chief musician. Now, David is the king. He's in charge. Everybody answers to him. But Jesus was the chief musician. He led the worship in heaven. And they followed his lead. And so when David wrote a song, he knew in his heart, I'm penning this, that the chief musician here in the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, Mount Zion, would lead everybody. But ultimately, God's son is the chief musician. He's going to lead everybody to worship in bring them closer to God. Now, here's some actual newspaper ads, and I can tell you that honestly because on my paper it says actual newspaper ads. So I'm trusting that these are actual. But you've seen these kind of ads in the paper before, but what are they really saying? They're not really saying the correct thing. You get the gist of it. But in Psalm 18 and 19, you get the power of what the words were saying. Free puppies, half cocker spaniel, half sneaky neighbor's dog. Free puppies. Part German Shepherd, part stupid dog. Free German Shepherd, 85 pounds, neutered, speaks German. What were they thinking, you know? Found, dirty white dog, looks like a rat, been out a while, better be a reward for this nasty little thing. But you know what he was writing, you know. He was saying. Nordic Track, $300, hardly used, called Chubby. Georgia peaches, California grown, 89 cents a pound. Georgia peaches, California grown. Okay, got it. Joining nudist colony, must sell washer and dryer, $300. Now, maybe some of you ladies will identify with this. Wedding dress for sale, worn once by mistake, call Stephanie. For sale by owner, complete set of Encyclopedia Britannica, 45 volumes, excellent condition, $1,000 or best offer, no longer needed, got married last month, my wife knows everything. Okay, you get the gist of it, they're, you know, words, but listen to these words of how David, if he's advertising anything, he's advertising his love that's in his heart for God, the Creator. Psalm 19, of course, deals with the creation. But look at, he's leading up to it. And there is, in this group of psalms, as you'll find in many of the psalms, but 8 through 24, classic insights for you. If you really want to get into depth in the psalms, you'll realize that there are words that end with one psalm and connects it. The first words, the first sentence of the next psalm, they're connected together. You'll see it with Psalm 20 and 21 especially, because he's asking for something. Well, in Psalm 21, he's got it. So that quickly, God responded to his prayer. In verse 1, chapter Psalm 18, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation and my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Now that's a good word there, worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Some people have religious icons in their bedrooms with candles around it, or they go to a temple somewhere to worship something that you could not really say that statue is worthy to be praised. So this is another way that he's advertising from his heart that the God that I worship is not only worthy to praise, it's because he's alive and deserves to be praised. He is worthy to be praised. I will call upon the Lord, so shall I be saved from my enemies. The pangs of death surrounded me. The floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The arrows, or the sorrows rather, of Sheol, which is another word for hell or the pit, surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me, and in my distress I called upon the Lord. Now, I want you to look at that as a whole thought, because I know that all of you at some time in your life have probably had a little touch of depression or sadness. They say that there's about 40 or 50 million prescriptions of just Ambien and sleep drugs that have been going out in the last few months around America. People are having trouble sleeping, and that's more than 40 million troubles, because there's X amount in a bottle, I imagine. So he's talking about being so down in his heart that he sees hell is after him. His friends have turned against him. And as it said that this is Saul was trying to kill him, his enemies have all been stopped by God. And look how in our generation, psychotropic drugs have been the big rage. Zoloft, you name it. Just the different drugs that are out there for depression. Just hundreds of millions of pills. Imagine if people really believed in God, they wouldn't really worry about the depression. If they did what David did, they'd go right to God. Now, I'm not telling you tonight, you're not a spiritual person. If you have a doctor's prescription, you're taking antidepressants. I'm not saying that at all, because I know they could help you. But what I am saying is that David was as down could be. And yet, instead of going and getting alcohol or to smoke Mr. Zigzag, or to do something to distract his emotional pain, he went to God. And you know, prayer has a lot of power. And heaven can unleash power through your prayers that can heal even emotional issues and scars in your memory bank. So I want you to look at that and maybe circle it and dwell on your own privately. Don't get paranoid now and you say, oh my goodness, I'm a horrible sinner. I'm going to hell because I don't pray. I'm not saying that at all. All I'm saying is that when we get down, the world has trained us to take something, to do something. Go out and have an affair because the pressure's too much. Go out and get drunk. Go out and watch a stupid movie, you know. We're always trying to cover up instead of let him release. So look what David said. My God and my strength, there's his strength, in whom I will trust. My shield and my horn, my salvation and my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who's worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies, because the pangs of death surrounded me. He was near death. The floods of ungodliness made me afraid. Evilness all around us in this world. The sorrows of hell surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me in my distress. I called upon the Lord. There's the key to all of our problems. I called upon the Lord in all my distress. I called upon the Lord. So the next time the temptation comes and you really get down, say, oh, I got to go get another bottle of wine. No, I called upon the Lord. And stop and ask yourself, how often do you really call upon the Lord as opposed to go to the medicine cabinet or go to somebody's party or something? All you're doing is trying to distract from the pain and the discomfort that is in the depth of your soul. I called upon the Lord. In the midst of hell, trying to take my life, I called upon the Lord, he said. So that's a great key for us to remember, to call upon the Lord. It's so easy to take shortcuts, but I'll tell you this, there are no shortcuts around the cross. None. You have to go to the cross and see yourself crucified with Christ. You have to die to yourself on the cross. And sometimes part of the dying is that you go through emotional, distressful, sad, sorrowful, depressing thoughts. And that's God just showing you the depth of your soul, that there is no good thing that dwells within you. And when you can accept that, okay, I don't like this feeling, I don't like this emotion, I don't like what I'm thinking about, I don't like those memories, then give it up to the Lord. And just say to him, Lord, erase that tape. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ on the memories of those people that you used to date or party with, or those scenes that you don't like. Don't let those memory banks control your life. Because the devil is an expert at controlling people through just their memories of the bad things they've done, because you feel trapped because it's sin and there's no way out of your sin except by the blood of Jesus Christ. So in your distress, call upon the Lord. Then the earth shook and it trembled. My cry came before him, even to his ears. I cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple. He's a living God, worthy to be praised. My cry came before him. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of the hills also quaked, and they were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils, devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed in heavens at the heavens also, and came down with darkness under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and flew. He flew upon the wings of the wind. That's really poetic, isn't it? He flew upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His canopy around him was dark waters, thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him, his thick clouds passed with hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord thundered from heaven. That's a powerful statement. The Lord thundered from heaven. And the Most High uttered his voice. Hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered the foe. Lightnings in abundance, and vanquished them. The channels of the sea. Now, those of you in the Navy, and especially the submarine, you know it's in our lifetime, in our parents' lifetime, that scientists, military people, found out with the creation of the submarine, there are actually roads under the ground, under the ocean, channels. And our submarine people know that there's certain places you can go underneath shelves of plates that are connecting the earth, and they can hide, and they can go across the Atlantic on certain headings, and they'll not have any problems with bumping into anything. So here's the Bible getting way ahead of people that said the earth was flat, telling us that the sea has channels of the sea. Foundations of the world were uncovered. When God spoke, the whole planet was naked before him. At your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils, he sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. Remember, he did the same with Moses, took him out of the waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy. Remember, he did it for all of Israel as they crossed the Red Sea. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. You know, you can't do everything, and you're not better than everybody else. And when you can get to the place, this was a strong man, physically, mentally, emotionally, tremendous politician, a multi-billionaire, and a great military strategist. He feared no army that was against the people of Israel. He wanted to protect the children of Israel. He was a true shepherd, and he went to war. And the enemies feared David because he didn't put up with any baloney. But look at this guy. He admits that he had some issues here, the people being stronger than him. For they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my support. Underline that in the person's Bible sitting on your left side. The Lord was my support. You know, you get to the shop you're going to and there's no parking places. The Lord's your support. I learned a long time ago, when I go anywhere, I start praying before I get there. Would you please give me a parking space? Seriously. Let the Lord be the one that brings you your paycheck. Let the Lord be the one that takes care of your medical situations. Realize he's there as your support. Now, David, this is one of the reasons he was a man after God's heart. He recognized that the world was too big and strong for him, that he couldn't fight it himself. He needed God. He realized that God was worthy to be praised. He realized that God was his support in everything, that everything he had came from God. He realized that any enemies that would come against him, God would defend him. All he had to do was ask. Now, this is what would make you a woman after God's heart or a man after God's heart, that in every little tidbit of your life, you look to the Lord and you acknowledge him in everything that goes on in your life. And then I'd like you to drop down, if you would. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness in verse 20. Verse 21, I have kept the ways of the Lord, again, man after his heart, and have not wickedly departed from my God. He wasn't a backslider. For all his judgments were before me. I did not put away his statutes from me. Otherwise, he read the scriptures on a regular basis. I was also blameless before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. With the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. With a blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. With the pure, you will show yourself pure. With the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. For you will save, who will he save? The humble people. So you're a smart aleck, God will deal with you that way. You're mean, God will deal with you that way. You're rough and tough, God will deal with you that way. But if you deal in the way of Galatians 5 of the fruit of the Spirit, that's just how God's going to deal with you. You actually reap what you sow. And if you want other people to be nice to you, you better be nice to other people. Solomon said in the Proverbs that if a man would have friends, he must first show himself to be friendly. You're not going to have any friends if you're not a very friendly person. For all of his judgments, verse 22, were before me. Verse 24, therefore the Lord has recompensed me according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. With the merciful you show mercy. Verse 27, for you will save the humble people, but you will bring down the haughty looks, the proud person. For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He's a shield to all who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer. He sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness, underline that in your own Bible, your gentleness has made me great. God's gentleness has made him great. Now that word gentleness is used three ways in the English language. It can mean humility, it can mean meekness, or condescension. He's coming down from a high place to a low place. Here's this humongous intellect working in a preschool. Here is the creator of everything coming down and trying to get your attention. You don't even know he's there, maybe. I mean, this is what that word means in our language. That God is a God of gentleness. And it's a powerful word because gentleness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, according to Galatians chapter 5. A very important statement from King David is being made here. He tells us how God will deal with people, but then he talks about how God has dealt with him by enlightening his eyes, giving him the strength to jump over walls and to sharpen his sword and to make himself ready for war. He makes my feet like deer's feet that I can get into those rocky places and I can stand very steadfast. You've given me the shield of salvation. Your gentleness made me great. And look what he says with greatness from gentleness. You enlarged my path under me so that my feet did not slip. Now, this is something you can learn as a young Christian woman or man, as it maybe you slipped a lot. You made a lot of mistakes. You're always slipping with the tongue. You are slipping with your body. You are slipping with your mind, slipping with your money, slipping with your actions, slipping on the weekends. You know, you're always slipping and sliding. But God comes along the more you read the word, and he broadens your path, and he smooths it out for you so that you're not going to slip. That you're more focused on worshiping him and praising him because he's worthy than you are of the things that are going on in your life that make you slip around. So he makes your path strong. Verse 37, I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. So he's proactive in the Lord. Neither did I turn back again until they were destroyed. I have wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet. For you have armed me with the strength of the battle. You have subdued me under me those who rose up against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies so that I destroyed those who hated me. They cried out, but there was no one to save, even to the Lord, but he didn't answer them. And then I beat them as fine as the dust before the wind. I cast them out like dirt in the streets. You have delivered me from the strivings of the people. You have made me the head of the nations. A people I have not known shall serve me. He's talking through the Lord now, but he's also talking about his own self with the nations around him. As soon as they hear of me, they obey me. The foreigners submit to me. The foreigners fade away, and they come frightened from their hideouts. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. David was a guy that's saying, you know, I slip, I slide. You've made my path strong. You've prospered me. You've blessed me. And then there's all this world around me. It needs to know God. And so God has brought them to my gates, and now I'll take them his word. And that's what he's doing with you. He's blessing you in powerful ways. And when I'm about 85 years old, I'll tell you many of the ways that we could never talk about until I'm about 85 years old. So here's, I pursued my enemies. He's proactive for the Lord. You have delivered me from the strivings of the people. You have made me the head of the nations. A people I have not known shall serve me. The Lord lives. It is God who avenges me and subdues the people under me. And he delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I'll give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles. So he's taken it out of the Jewish court. He's brought it into the Gentile court. And I will sing praises to your name. Great deliverance he gives to his king. And he shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forevermore. He condescended to come down to you and me. It's a very important statement because this guy could be very proud and haughty. So you and I need to realize that we're really nothing. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And if he weren't a gentle and a meek God, willing to come down to our level, we'd all be lost tonight. We'd be in pitch darkness, screaming, weeping, gnashing our teeth. We wouldn't see anybody around us. We'd hear the cries of people. We'd never touch another human being again. We'd never look in anybody's eyeballs again. We would be totally lost. But because he's a gentle God and a humble God, he's come down to us. He loved you so much that he gave his son to die for you. How important that you and I as Christian men and women represent him in that same attitude. That we do not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, but we repeat his spirit and his attitude. And that's one of humility. Now, Psalm 19. This is a beautiful psalm because if he's writing an advertisement, you can just look at the screens right now and you'll realize that his advertisement here is that God is really big and powerful. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech. Night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language. There is no speech where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. Now look at that picture. Could you back that picture up of our sun? Look at that. How powerful. That's 93 million miles away from us. And that one solar flare, it's so much energy. Unbelievable. And God flung the stars out there with his fingertips. Just put them in his fingers. That'll go over here and that'll go over here. Yeah. You know, talk all you want about evolution of the jelly that was floating around in the primordial ooze and it bumped into a peanut butter sandwich and it became a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and it ended up on the beach and turned into a lizard and slid along and it got four legs and it walked sideways up a tree and then it got hair all over it and it started eating bananas and swinging from limb to limb and it became a monkey and you became a monkey's uncle. Go ahead and talk about all that. But how did that evolve? Look on your screen. How did that evolve? You know, go further out. How did all of this evolve? No way. No way at all. It didn't evolve. The glory of God. In them he has set a tabernacle, verse 4, for the sun. So out in the heavens, that sun that you and I have is hid in a tabernacle, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven and its circuit to the other end. And there's nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord, they are right, rejoicing the heart. Look at that. Happening out in space right now. And that's going on right now out there. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean. Clean. It cleans you out. Enduring forever, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. There's one of the first surfers ever. Yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them, the word, your servant is warned, and in keeping them, there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from my secret faults. Do you realize you and I have secret faults and that's what we try to cover up all the time? And David is so honest and says, cleanse me from them. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Boy, the sin of presuming things, you know, just making a statement out of presumption. Well, I thought this looked da-da-da. The sin of presumption is a killer. You need to wait on the Lord. Renew your strength. You need to seek the Lord. You need to draw close to the Lord. Don't be hasty to make decisions. So then he said, who can understand his errors? Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgressions. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You know, he created a great planet. I think man's messed it up a little bit, but he's your father that designed all of this. I mean, nobody knows how much a woodchuck could chuck unless you've ever chucked wood, and then you might not even know. But God created that woodchuck and the wood that he would chuck if he could chuck. What do you think, Chuck? Huh? I mean, God made so much. But our lives are down to a 42-inch flat screen. We just, whatever we see, we believe. And whatever's on there is usually totally away from God. Now, David had a real thing going with God. Tremendous thing going with God. We'll close with Psalm 20 and then the guys will come back out. Now, look at this closely. Verse 1. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. That's interesting. Because the last psalm, he cried out in Psalm 18 in the trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. Would you circle that statement in your Bible and put a little star by it? Very important. May the God of Jacob defend you, and may he send you help from the sanctuary. And so we get to praise him by being obedient to what he asks us to do. So I love it. Send me help from the sanctuary, Lord. Please help. This is my prayer for what God has you doing. And then I thought this was unique. Strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt offerings. Look at this. May he grant you according to your desire, heart's desire, and fulfill all your purpose. Grant you the heart's desire. Notice that he would fulfill all your purpose. Not that you'd be driven by purpose or driven for purpose. The purpose would be something God had put in your heart, and he would fulfill it. That's different than us going out and getting a purpose, and then I'm going to do this for my purpose. He's got a purpose that you're alive. So let him now do it through you, that you'd be a humble vessel like King David. Grant this. This is something that gets granted. But notice the fulfillment and the purpose are only according to him, not according to us. And I do believe that we have a purpose. I think the numbers would be very, very high. I had 99%, but I crossed it out. I think it would be a large number of all the people on the planet that have missed their purpose. Some are dead and they missed it completely. Some are still alive. And I'm not talking just from an American's perspective or Western European. I'm talking about third world countries too. I'm talking about the purpose of why are we alive and what do we do with our life? It's gone by so quickly. So we don't want to miss our purpose that he has. We should spend our time. We should spend our minds. We should spend our bodies wisely for the reason God created us. May he grant you. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They bowed down and fallen, but we have risen, we stand upright. And would you read verse 9 out loud together? Save, Lord. May the King answer us when we call. I love it. He's sitting there waiting for your call. Save, Lord, and then answer us. Now, I ask you to circle in your Bible the statement there from Psalm 20. I'll tell you why. It's verse 1. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. Do you realize only one time in the Bible does it say the God of Elijah? Did you know it only says one time in the Bible the God of Isaac? And do you know it only says two times in the Bible the God of Abraham? But it says 22 times in the Psalms, the God of Jacob. Have you ever thought of that? Well, Abraham's the father of faith. Why is he only two times in the Bible with that title, the God of Abraham? Elijah was the great, illustrious prophet. Wow, he called fire down from heaven. He killed 750 false prophets in one day by himself. He shut the heavens up by prayer for 3 years. And he's only has this statement, the God of Elijah, one time. And then Isaac. Isaac, one time, but Jacob, 22 times in the Psalms, the God of Jacob. You know why I think? There's several reasons, but I think the main one I'll leave you with tonight is this. Someone once said that Jacob was crooked, a crooked stick from the day he was born. You know, he always was conning. He was a manipulator. His name literally means supplanter, manipulator, or heel catcher. And remember when he stole the birthright, in a sense, took the birthright of Esau, who was the oldest, and conned him into giving his birthright. But he was a heel catcher, which means he was so clever with whatever he did, with the term that was used for Jacob, was that he'd trip people up to get what he wanted. He'd manipulate people. He'd use people. And stop and think of how many times we've reached out and just hit somebody on the heel to make them trip or stumble or to block them from getting first in line or to cut them off somewhere or to make sure that we won the lottery that week and they didn't get that winning ticket. But through our lives, we've all been heel catchers. So I think this is maybe one of the reasons. If anybody needed God, it was Jacob. Isaac was a Mr. Good goody two-shoes. He was just, you know, some of you are like that, or your friends. They're not very exciting when it comes to sin, and they're not very exciting when it comes to God. They're just, and you think of Elijah. Yeah, he had a big show going on. But if anybody needs God, it's the person that's twisted and manipulating and who's a big sinner. And boy, for God to say that is very important, because it tells us that God's a God of individual people. Now, everybody that's good and clean and a churchgoer like Isaac, everybody that has huge faith like Abraham, anybody that can call fire down from heaven, I'm their God. No, I'm the God of the biggest losers you can find. What are you laughing about? You know, Paul the Apostle said to the Corinthian church, look among you. There are not many mighty or noble among you. God uses the foolish to confound the wise. And I think that's why it's in there so many times, the God of Jacob. Because when you read about Jacob, he was always in trouble. He was always conning somebody. He was always on the run. He was always working somebody. He was always trying to get even. He was trying to make something happen. He was a guy that desperately needed God. And he was a strong and healthy guy. And one night he goes to sleep, and the stairway of heaven opens up for him. And the angels are coming and going. And he has this vision. And at night, where he wrestles with God, all night with an angel of God, and it turned out to be God. Now, if God could take those stars that you just saw on the screens and put those with his fingertip, why did it take him all night to wrestle with Jacob? I think God's really patient with us. I think that's why he's the God of Jacob. You and I need a lot of patience, and so he needs a lot of patience to work with us. And instead of it always being about us, Christianity and Jesus, if it's really about God and not you and I who have died in Christ on the cross, then we learn by watching what God has gone through to bring us to where we are today. If we haven't made very much headway, then God hasn't been allowed to do much by us. There's not much to look at. But stop and think, is it Hebrews 11, verse 12 or 21, something like that? It says that Jacob stood and worshiped God leaning on his staff. Boy, at his old age, this guy was a wild man. But it took all those years from the time that he wrestled with God that God got the hamstring and dislocated his hip, and he changed his name to Israel. And from that night on, when he surrendered to God, he walked with a limp. And as long as that limp was there, he always remembered, I can't outsmart God. I can't outfox God. I can't take shortcuts around God. I can't do it without God. It's a great lesson to learn that it took all of his life to be quiet, to quit running around, to quit trying to manipulate, trying to make the business happen with Laban, trying to get the girls turned against Laban because Leah was given to him first, and all the bitterness he had and all the busyness this guy had, God had to cripple him so that he could walk at his pace. And then it took his whole life to get him to Hebrews 11, that finally you see a man who surrendered to God, standing and leaning on his staff, worshiping the Lord. I see him like this, but it could have been like, you know, he's that bad hip. He's leaning on the bad hip, the opposite side. But he is worshiping God in his frailty. And that's what he's doing with all of us. He's trying to bring us to a place that we'll just stop and we'll just worship him wherever we are, whoever we are, and quit trying to make life something it's not or to create something. Just follow him, the God of Jacob. You think you're a troublemaker? He's your God. Yeah, he's your God too if you're a bland, neutral, white, four-door sedan. He's your God. But he's a God of Jacob so many times in the Bible because he wants everyone to know that I help those who cannot help themselves. Shall we stand? Shall we pray? And so the boys come out and lead us in worship. Lord, as we bow our hearts before you, we want to lean on your staff, on Jesus, and we want to worship you. And we would pray, Father, that we would look at the beauty of your holiness and say, you're worthy to be praised. When we consider the heavens, your handiwork, we're nothing. We're so small. We're so little and minute. We can't add one thing to your wisdom. And so since you created us to be for your glory, to fellowship with you, may we surrender ourselves to you tonight and worship you. And may you be honored in our worship and praise, because you're worthy to be praised. Honor these people that stand before your throne right now, Lord. They're here because they want to worship you. And help us all to be humble like David, that we would surrender and realize there are enemies too strong. There are battles too big. There are things that I cannot do, but you can make my hands to war and you can strengthen me that I could leap over a wall. And at the same time, you can humble us like David, that we would put an advertisement to the whole world that our God is a great God. And our God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And our God is a God of word and truth. And our God is a God of love and forgiveness. May we be those walking advertisements and those walking billboards of your gentleness. Because our greatness and anything we've ever accomplished is because you're gentle and you haven't wiped us out. So tonight, may you forgive us of our sins and let that gentleness rule in all of our souls. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.